Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
منها جنا تقوى ونحب ما يرضى لله من يرجو مولاه في مسعى ونحب ما يرضى لله من يرجو مولاه في مسعى يا إخوتي سيروا في نوره وهدى
سرنا بعون الله منها جنا تقوى سرنا بعون الله منها جنا تقوى ما خاب من يبغي دوم الرضا مولا
فالنور أدمعه في تلكم المشكاة والحب فواح كالمسك مسكا
نهديه إخوتنا
أحبابنا في الله
سرنا بعون الله منها جنا تقوى ما خاب من يبغي دوم الرضا مولا
من أنفس تذكو شوقا إلى لقيا أواه يا طوبى ونعيمها أواه
من أنفس تذكو شوقا إلى لقيا أواه يا طوبى ونعيمها أواه وزيادة فيها
من ربنا مرأى
كم مهجة صرخت لله وشوقا سرنا بعون الله منها جنا تقوى سرنا بعون الله منها جنا تقوى ما خاب من يبغي دوم الرضا مولا
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi alladhi aqalana yawmana hadha wa lam yuhlikna bidhunubina. All praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has bestowed upon us this day and has not destroyed us on account of our sins. So there is the sunrise dua, and alhamdulillah, you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are acknowledging the kind of condition that we are currently in, and this is what Allah azza wa jalla loves, that you constantly put yourself, humble yourself in front of Him, acknowledging your condition and acknowledging His greatness. That is why in this week we mentioned to you that when you make dua, you should start your dua with Allahumma, what was it? Allahumma la uhsi thana'an alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. And if plural, Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. So both ways, one is singular, one is plural. Allahumma la uhsi thana'an alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. So you're praising Allah. That's the first aspect. You lift your dua, you lift your hands, and you raise your hands. First thing you're going to do is praise Allah. You can even recite, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. There's also another beautiful dua as well. And this year was sent to us by one of our elderly uncles from Marlborough, our neighbors. They phoned me yesterday. And beautiful call we had. Discussing a few aspects, speaking about Hazrat Mulana Yunus Daya, Hafidhahu Rahmatullah Alayhi, we say now, and how his concern, his worry, and all of this was. So here is the dua, and he sent me this dua is currently of, it is of Hazrat Mulana Ibrahim Devla. So the focus here and the focal point, remember, is how to open your dua. How to open your dua. It must be structured. Everything else in life, you want to go for interview, you want to do this, you want to do, you say it must be structured. But why, when we open our dua, our supplications to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, we don't do it according to our desires, but we do it according to how Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us. So the first aspect that you're supposed to know and understand is to praise Allah. And this we mentioned to you in this week, but we're just double checking now. You can put the tick whether you're doing it or not. But we need to remind ourselves constantly to see that we are practicing accordingly. So when you're lifting your hands, then first tick must be what? That you're praising Allah Azza wa Jal. We said to you in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah teaches you this here. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You can use that as well. Or Alhamdulillah, all praises belongs to the sustainer of the universe. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Most merciful, most compassionate. Yesterday we shared with you and we told you that Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimullah, when he was asked what is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, so he said, Idha su'ila a'ta wa idha lam yus'al ghadib. When he is asked, he gives. That is Ar-Rahman. And Ar-Rahim, when he's not asked, he becomes angry. And this fits in with the hadith when Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Innahu man lam yas'alillah yaghdab alayh. He who does not ask Allah, Allah becomes angry with such a person. So this year you have to know and understand asking, but praising Allah first. So you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So these are all ways to praise Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Now listen to this dua. Hazrat Mulana Ibrahim Devla Sahib, I said to you, our neighbor there in Marlborough, and with the minute he phoned me, he said, Parosi ka haq karna chahiye. He wants to fulfill the haq and the hukuk of the Parosi. So I said, that was in Marlborough, you have to come to me now in Lands, because I'm in Lands now. So this was just on a light note. But anyway, this is the dua that he sent me. It is compliments, we must say, compliments of Uncle Shafi Sahib of Marlborough, our neighbor there, and he sent me this dua. So,
subscribe Al Bayan and
Chini Madad Karo. Or Mary Madad Kar, Metera Shukar Karnivalabun. اور میری مدد کر کہ میں تیری اچھی سے اچھی عبادت کرنے والا بنوں اس میں مدد مانگی ہے اس پر مدد مانگی ہے کہ میں تیرا ذکر کرنے والا بنوں کیوں کہ ذاکر کہ ذاکر کس کو کہتے ہیں صحیح باتیں جو تسبیح پڑھے تلاوت کرے وہ بھی ذاکر ہے اصل ذاکر وہ ہے جو اللہ کی اطاعت کرے اصل ذاکر کون ہے کل مطیع ذاکر ولا معنى نكاية كله مطيعين ذاكرون
هل هو آدمي جو اللہ کی اطاعت میں ہے
وہ وہ اللہ کا ذاکر
ہے دعا مانگے کہ مجھے اپنا ذاکر بنا دے
یعنی مجھے اپنی اطاعت میں لگا دے تو ذکر جو ہے وہ اطاعت کا ذریعہ ہے.
So this dua, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. You can find this. The reference comes in Abu Dawood, it comes in An-Nasai. And this was in Urdu. With those who love Urdu, we can send it to you as well. 084-786-3132. If in a foreign country, plus 27-84-786-3132. In this dua, Azad Mulana Ibrahim Devla, Hafidhahullah, he is stressing and mentioning to you, who is a dhakir? Kullu muti'in dhakirun. Ulama have written, this is not a hadith. So every person, the asal dhakir, the asal one who remembers Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, is that person who he obeys Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he is a dhakir. Because let's face it, if I'm just going to sit in seclusion and make dhikrullah the entire day, Allah is merciful, Allah is powerful, He doesn't need me to work, but Allah wants to see me also go out and earn. So there is part and parcel, part of my responsibilities, kasbul halali, faridatun ala kulli muslimin, that it is compulsory upon every Muslim that he goes out and he earns. And halal, rozi, sustenance, you know the women of those days, they would stand at the door, they would stand at the door, and they would say that, oh my husband, you are leaving the house now, make sure, ensure that you come home with halal sustenance, even if it be little. They didn't have a set job, or they go in the marketplace, they're going to sell a few things, who knows what they're going to come back with, what sales they're going to come back with. Please, the concern is to not feed your family with haram. This was the woman of those days. The concern was this. Imagine, nowadays, hey, make sure if you don't bring money home at the end of this month, because we get mostly paid monthly, then make sure you don't come home. This is the kind of relationship. It's not, doesn't matter where, we must be driving that BMW. Does not matter how, who, what, we can be standing in intoxicated from shaitan's touch, as Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about in verse 275 of Surah Al-Baqarah. الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسْ. Allah says this in verse 275 of Surah Al-Baqarah. It's like he is standing like a person who is touched and has become mad because of the touch of Shaitan, Satan. Where is this here? I said to you, verse 275 of Surah Al-Baqarah. الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. Those who devour interest, they will not stand except as the one whom Shaitan by his touch has driven to madness. And why? Because they said, ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا. They said that bay trade is just like riba. It's the same thing. There's no difference. Allah clarifies this. وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَا. Allah has made halal bay and has classified riba as haram. فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَى فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفَ. Those after they've received the direction from their sustainer, they desist. They shall be pardoned for the past, meaning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when this law came into action, they immediately desisted. And now going forth, what happens? Everything is maaf now because you desisted. Your forgiveness is in desisting, stopping, putting the, you know, the stop sign, hands up. So that was ideally your, that is how Allah forgave you there. You stopped. فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ. All that you did in the past, forgiven. وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And their case is for Allah. Allah will judge. But those who go back, وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. But those who repeat the offense of riba and the rest are companions, أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, they are companions of the fire. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will abide therein forever. Understand this point here. This is a beautiful verse of the Quran Sharif from the aspect of riba, from the aspect of showing you what's halal, what's haram, and from the aspect, a third angle we look at it here from. And that is, once you believe, once you perpetrate, you and me, we're both sinners. كل بني آدم خطاؤون وخير الخطائين التوابون. Every son of Adam عليه السلام, they are sinners, but the best of sinners are the repenters. So we are sinners, but we are repenters as well. But once you or I, Allah protect us and save us from making such derogatory statements upon any portion of deen, upon any figure of deen, which Allah Azza wa Jal knows that these are major, such as the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and coming down, all the friends of Allah. In Hadith Qudsi mentioned in Bukhari, you know this hadith by now, Allah says, Man aada li waliyan, man aada li waliyan, faqad aadantuhu bil harb. Whoever holds animosity upon any one of my friends, I announce war with such a person. There's two places you find this. One is in the Quran Sharif, and that is exactly for interest. And the other place is for the friends of Allah. You ask where in the Quran Sharif? Following with these verses that we just spoke about now, verse 275, you just go down to verse 279. Allah says there, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If you do not desist, and you carry on persisting with this riba, then take notice of war from Allah and His Messenger.
وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ.
But if you turn back, you shall have your capital sums. You shall have your capital sums. Deal not unjustly, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly. See, لَا تَظْلِمُونَ. You do not deal unjustly, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly. Beautiful. Just sharing this with you, so many lessons come to mind. You know the dua that we, perhaps I don't expect you to know all these duas by now, but at least there's some sort of plan of action to bring it into our lives. And we must also show and express our gratitude to that listener who also said we must have a portion just for duas. Exceptional, good suggestion, and we're just working on it. Inshallah, it will be put together and becoming systematic. We just want a little bit more suggestions, a little bit more time, and then we will come out with a plan of how we're going to do the 7 to 9. If you want to send in your suggestions, reactions, whatever it is, you can send it through. The number is 084-786-3132. Perhaps that was too fast. 084 if you're local South Africa. WhatsApp only messages, 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, +27 is the code. +27 is the code. 84-786-3132. Remember to join our channel as well. And this year, why we say channel, it mustn't be that, you know, this or that, but channel is because it gives that sense of safety. If you look at all these other groups, what was happening is, and we experience it because, alhamdulillah, we admin a few groups, so we see this here. But the dark side of it is, one member can contact another member, and there's no safety and privacy in that. But with the channel, there's no information that is shared. Everything is private. So join the channel, send us a message, just write their channel or whatever you want to write. But simple, we keep it like this, one keyword, channel, and we'll send you the link. You join, and there you get all the information. Now, I was saying to you, this privacy, all of this, you've got to be worried, be very wary, be very concerned, because you'll get different types of people, hackers and the rest. Cybercrime is one of the most dangerous crimes that we are facing in today's era, because you receive messages from who and who, and they will say this, that, the other. Please put money in my account. Please do this. Please do that. Mr. Balgais, who used to do that program with us, and we should get him again. We enjoy his warnings of how people get into this whole thing. Now, the main thing he said, cybercrime. This is the... So as we're advancing, there's also this dark side. There's always got to be some challenge with the system, some challenge with whatever we are facing. So this year is one of those challenges. Now, I was saying to you, the dua when you're leaving the house, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adilla aw udalla aw azilla aw uzalla aw adhlima aw udlama aw ajhala aw ujhala aw ajhala aw yujhala alayna. So one is alay. If you recite in plural, then you're going to change all, and then it will be alayna. Nonetheless, let's go back here. There's a different lesson we derive from this. You know the meaning already. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adilla aw udalla. If you recite in plural, an adilla aw nudalla. It comes in plural also. So an adilla aw nudalla. That I must not commit oppression to others, and others must not commit oppression upon me. But from this verse, and you can see the translation that is given, La tadhlimuna wa la tudhlamun, deal not unjustly and you shall not be dealt with unjustly. Understood this here? You do not deal unjustly and you will not be dealt with unjustly. You know what we say always. What goes up must come down. What goes up must come down. Everything, the world is round. Today you doing this to someone else, tomorrow someone else is doing this to you. Today you are throwing people out of their homes, out of their land, making them run throughout a strip which is 41 kilometers. I don't think that there is a single spot which the people, any person of Gaza, has not stood on, because they have moved them on so many occasions from Rafah to that way, south to north, north to south, east to west. And Gaza is not some big country or something. Gaza is 41 kilometers in terms of length, and when you're looking in terms of breadth, it is 13 kilometers. 13 kilometers. But still, they cannot find the Mujahideen. How beautiful, Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Anyway, coming to this now. You throw others out of their homes, others tomorrow will throw you out of your own home. Isn't this what's happening in Tel Aviv? Isn't this all this protesting? It's not just against Hamas anymore. The focal point is upon Satan Yahu. Yesterday I read an interesting thing. And if you're with me on WhatsApp, then you know, you probably saw it. So you probably understand what I'm trying to say here. That it says that compulsory service and dual citizenship. Now it is under the Israeli law that every citizen or permanent resident, they must serve in the IDF, IDF Israeli Diaper Forces, for between 18 to 36 months based on their age, based on their marital status, and based on their gender. This is followed by 10 years of reserve duty. Now, this is compulsory service. You got that? 18 to 36 months. This is all based on your age, it's based on your marital status, it's based on your gender. And together with that, it must be 10 years of reserve duty. Imagine. It's not free to stay on the land of, on the stolen land of the rogue regime Israel. You have to pay a price. What's the price? You have to serve in the army. So if you're some weakling, or if you're some, you still have to serve. Anyway, and they say this is based on your age, marital status, gender. And together with that, so that's 18 to 36 months, and together with that, 10 years of reserve duty. Dual citizens, they living abroad, are not exempt. So if you're living abroad, or if you've got two visas, you still have to come and serve your duty and responsibility. Question, what's the question? When will Satan Yahu and his two sons, Yair and Evner, I've never heard of Evner before, but Evner, when will they get their shirts and their suits dirty and start serving in the Israeli diaper forces? So you've made this the rule. What happens to your son? Because isn't he roaming around in different countries, and he's even instructing the chief of the IDF, Eyal Zamir, do this or that. Eyal Zamir, when he was instructed that we are going full force, and we're going to go full force occupying Gaza, what did he say? He says this is going to risk the lives of the hostages. That was his statement. He was worried, bothered, concerned about this year. That was his concern. He knew, because he's on the ground. Now Satan Yahu is just there underground in his home. He just hears one window scratch and he's already running five floors deeper, trying to run for safety, because that is exactly what the Quran Sharif says about these individuals. They are so scared of death. That's what Quran Sharif teaches us. Ya ayyuha alladhina qul ya ayyuha alladhina hadu in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. O Jews, say, O Jews, in za'amtum annakum awliya'u lillahi min dunin nas, fatamannaw al-maut in kuntum sadiqeen. O Jews, if you really believe in your anti-Semitism that you are the friends of Allah, minus min dunin nas, minus everyone else, fatamannaw al-maut, here's the challenge, wish for death. In kuntum sadiqeen, if you are truthful, and we always say this, you tell your daughter, you tell your son, do this, but I know you're not going to do it. That is what Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here. وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. They will never ever wish for death because of what they have sent forth. And we add to this, what they've sent forth with their own hands. Look how apt is the Quran Sharif. With their own hands, meaning what they've pressed with their own drones and buttons and all of those tanks and the rest. But our men, our mujahideen, fulfilling the purpose, dedicated, it is tough for them, but they understand well what Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling them in another verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 216. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Sometimes you dislike something, but it's good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And sometimes you love something, but it's not good for you, it's bad for you. Allah knows best and you do not know. And this reference, if you just see, it's made specific reference. The rule is general, but specific reference here is made to qital. That's fighting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, I just want to break through one particular discussion here. I'm going to break through it, and then you can see how you want to understand this. You know very well, right, what had taken place over the past few days with Mufti Menk in Sheffield. Everyone knows about this. If you don't know, send me a message now and say, I don't know what's happening, so we can put you into the scene. 084-786-3132, +27 84 786 3132. We say just join and you together with us in one place, and it makes things easier. Send us channel, you join the group and finish. Anyway, you know what happened in Sheffield. Okay, so if you don't know, let's just put you into the scene so everyone knows. Here is, I'll play for you, the first incident. People were gone wild and crazy. One person, madcap, he came out and started screaming that Mufti Menk has been attacked. Mufti Menk has been attacked. Why must you exaggerate something to such levels, to such unwanted levels? Anyway, nonetheless, let's put you in the scene. A personality, Allah knows best what's his name, he came out and he said, "Oh, Mufti Menk," while Mufti Menk is giving the lecture in the Sheffield Masjid, he said, "You do not prohibit the evil," which is a fact. He said a fact. Whether you want to call him afterwards, he said, the brothers said that he was very troubled and the rest. Okay, I'll play for you both sides. So you have both sides and you have a balanced view, understanding of what's happened and what is happening, right? Okay, so there is listeners and they're saying, please advise us on what has happened in the Sheffield Masjid about Mufti Menk. Now I'm going to share with you this here. Let's start with number one. Perhaps you won't be able to hear it very clearly. Let's send it to our engineer so that true clarity can come out from this here. So the usual and what we call, some people will call it whitewashing, some people will call it this, some people will call it that. But let's put facts. See, one is the Israeli-Palestinian thing. We've learned so much, man. We've learned to become better people when it comes to proofs and evidence. See how particular, meticulous Allah Azza wa Jalla is about evidence. We quoted for you that verse in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Oh Jews, because this is what anti-Semitism is all about. Yesterday, I'm just going to drift for 2 seconds and you can check the Ummati website. We've put we spoke about this yesterday, so you understand what's happening on air here at Marcus Sahaba. During our interview between 8:30 and 9:30, we spoke about it. The woman, imagine, what beats me is Trump is screaming so much about the migrants. He is going wild about them. But if you saw that this particular personality, whose name goes by Valentina Gomez, she is not an American. She hails from Colombia. And she emigrated to the US as a child with her family. So if you applying the migrant law and that you're chasing out, what happens to her? Oh, exception. Let's stop there. But you know, we spoke about this. She used a flamethrower upon the Quran Sharif, O Ummah. She used a flamethrower upon the Quran Sharif, O Ummah. We're not asking you to go out and act in the same manner with their books. We have respect. And this is not how we deal with situations. But the pain remains. The pain remains. And Allah will deal with such people. Insha'Allah, Ya Allah, we make this dua, which is very fair. Ya Allah, you grant her iman. Give her the ability to repent. Give her the ability to repentance will mean she has to come into the fold of Islam. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram, ya hayyu ya qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. Give her iman. If iman is not written out for her, you destroy her by your will, your power for doing this, and to teach all these criminals a lesson for messing with your kalam. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Valentina Gomez proudly, arrogantly coming out. The question that we asked is, where's Hamza Yusuf? Was it not Donald Trump who appointed Sheikh Hamza Yusuf as a religious advisor earlier this year? Where, in fact, yesterday, I'll just share this with you. I know I'm drifting into so many, but you need to know what's the truth. Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, yesterday, in one of the clips I heard, which he gave a talk in 2019, he was speaking of how people honor the American flag. And this was, if you look at the title, it was Quran Burning. He was speaking of the American flag and how people, you mustn't go burn the flag. So burning the flag is so important to stay away from. Burning the flag is so important to stay away from. American flag, you know, Trump is unleashing fines. If you burn that American honorable devilish flag. So, where's Hamza Yusuf in this whole matter? He's appointed by Donald Trump earlier this year. It was during May. Five Pillars had recorded it, and you can check other websites as well. I took the specific source of Five Pillars. Five Pillars, by the way, they released the video of Mufti Menk in Sheffield where this person was addressing him, and then they deleted it for some reason or the other. Now, there's been questions. Why have they changed their stance? Because we know very well when it was this whole matter of Mufti Menk with the rabbis having iftar and the rest in the UAE, the UAE, which is sponsoring the war in Sudan, the UAE sending help and assistance, not for the Palestinians or Ummah. They are sending help and assistance for the rogue Israelis. Just yesterday, another plane went through. Go check Sunnah Files and go and see that website. How many planes have gone through? Other websites last week have mentioned that there are ships coming through. All of this is taking place. Where is the Ummah? Why is there so much silence? Is it because the UAE is such a beautiful, hot holiday hotspot that we now can be just so silent upon these things? Anyway, coming back, Sheffield Masjid. Sheffield Masjid. A person stood up. Here is it. Let's play it for you first so you understand what's happening.
The why do you not address the two elephants in the room, or more elephants in the room? Now, maybe your head older than a large ship and your senior.
So the brother is, the brother has mentioned an interesting point. Others who are struggling in a similar way. You have a problem, go and help people with other problems. You will notice your problem becomes small.
Why do you not predict evil? Then why do you not address the two elephants in the room, or more elephants in the room? Now maybe your head older than a large ship and your senior.
So the brother has mentioned an interesting point. He is saying we should be speaking about calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's exactly what we are doing. We are speaking about calling out, building a connection with Allah, building a connection with the Masjid of Allah. Don't worry, the brother is he's okay. Don't worry. Jazakallah, Habibi. Barakallah. So basically, what has happened is, unfortunately, don't worry.
So you've heard that's the first portion, right? Sheffield Masjid, brother feels that, you know what, I need to stand up and I need to voice the truth. The fact is, what he said, now let's take everything on paper. I said to you, what Palestine has taught us, facts matter. Facts is so important. And it's amazing how Jalla Jalaluhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always makes the truth come out. That is the fact. You saw it with you, Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam and Zulaykha. The truth came out. The truth comes out. It comes out. Now, I want to ask you a question. This brother, let's focus on facts. He said Mufti Menk does not forbid the evil. Okay? That was a fact. Now, if you look at it, The next day, let's first go back to this. When the brother was speaking, he was not given a chance to complete. But you will see in the next day's talk, at another masjid, Mufti Meng says, we gave him a chance. We said, give him a chance to speak. Let him talk. Let him say. But he was being cut off. He was being cut off. This is one of the ways when you are arguing a point. This I learned from, not directly, but from others who had mentioned to me, when Hazrat Mawlana A.S. Desai Hafidhahullah, he got into this debate. One of the lessons we learned from that, he always stuck to the point. Now I can go into that whole discussion. I discussed it on another occasion. I'm not going to go into that because it's going to take up too much time. The fact of the matter is you stick to your point. You and your spouse are having an altercation. Arguments come and go. But you stick to the point. You don't want to drift. Now you're going to go back 10 years. You're going to go back 15 years. You're going to go back 20 years. It's going to all come out and spill out. But what is the focal point of this matter? And let's stick to that. So when the person, this is something you will, it will benefit you for life. It's been benefiting me, alhamdulillah, when dealing with these people. When they want to push another button to make you feel guilty, you stick to your point. So let's see. We've got a problem with something. Say it's a husband and wife issue. So the wife says, you are going for too much of fishing. Right? I'm giving you an example. Every weekend, you're going for fishing. It's not permissible, number one, to go as a hobby. As a hobby to go for fishing and all of this. Yeah. Killing fish as a hobby, that's not permissible. You're killing, you're feeding people, the rest, that's different. You're eating yourself, that's different. But like this, as a hobby, to pass time, this is where it becomes problematic. But the wife is telling you this is wrong and you shouldn't be doing this. Family time. The husband, he says, yeah, but you know, you like this and you stick to your point. The problem is fishing. Going in circle, problem is fishing. Problem is fishing. Problem, and you keep on saying that till it sinks in. You don't go and bend over to the next discussion. Let's first overcome this, then we can move to your discussion. This is one of the ways when people are, when the truth surfaces, they go into these other discussions. Now, I'm not going to waste any more time. He wasn't given his chance to complete, right? He was abruptly silenced, and the guards came, they took him out like a criminal. But he says he was given freedom of speech. Now, let's hear quickly, with this time running out here, what does Mufti Meng say the next day? Let's focus on this.
That you watch online. Yesterday there was a brother, a beautiful brother in Sheffield, lovely brother. He got up and he gave me a few words. While I was talking, he got up, Sheikh, you don't speak about the shirk and about Tawheed and about something else. He said, Sheikh, and you don't forgive evil and stuff. What a lovely guy. I deal with one of our sons, he's probably in his 20s, good guy. But the way he did things, I knew that this brother is troubled. And at the same time, he is a little bit frustrated, like all of us. We are frustrated about what's going on. But he didn't want to know about Gaza or Palestine, because we always speak about it. If you don't know, if you want to just follow online, remember the social media platforms you're using, who they belong to? Ask yourself that question. Do you think they're going to show you what I say they want? You need to come in person, you need to search and hunt. And even if you search and hunt, do you really reckon they're going to show you the truth? You need to know me personally to know what I've done or to know what I do. Today you're sitting here, you heard how I started, you heard what I said. You go anywhere else, they won't believe you. They're not going to watch this video. If they don't follow, they don't want to follow. They'll never believe you. You can clarify as much as you want. They're going to say, this guy, he's a this guy, whatever. It's okay. So when I heard this young man, I even told the organizers, wait, let him relax a little bit. Let him say what he wants. And he kept on saying and so on. Then he didn't want a clarification, so we realized he wants to deliver his speech. That's when these brothers went and they took him away. Nonetheless, the point I want to raise is there were a few clips online, just like the Furus clips, where people said, oh, someone spoke, spoke up to Mufti Mehdi, wow, and they told him, you don't talk about Gaza. They didn't realize they were such fools to say that because the whole topic was about Gaza. And the whole topic, and I was trying to explain to the brother that we always talk about worshiping Allah alone and so on. So there was a lot that happened. But the clips that went viral made it seem like, subhanAllah, it was just a one way. The guy got up and everyone took him away. No. You need to know the whole context of how it started, what happened, where he came up. What they told me later, that please excuse this brother, he is trouble. And he has done this to so many people who come to the masjid. So I knew. I said, you know what, he's mad.
So he's been labeled as troubled. Let's put that one side. Let's focus on facts. The brother said one of the statements that was clear cut that everyone heard was, you do not forbid the evil. You do not forbid the evil, which is a fact. It's a fact. You can go and search. In fact, he said in Sheffield, he spoke about Gaza. If you listen to the speech of Gaza, it was just little bit statements, one or two statements of Gaza. The whole topic was not about Gaza. That's a lie, number one. Number two, this brother who said, you do not forbid evil, is his statement, whether he's troubled, you want to label him this, that, is his statement clarified or not? Now, we present to you the proofs, the evidence, with total fairness. We ask you, O Mufti Menk, what do you say about the Mujahideen Hamas, who are fighting and protecting the honorable land of Palestine? What do you say about them standing up? Have you ever mentioned them in any one of your speeches? Have you ever said anything about this noble effort which the Quran Sharif says and speaks about so well and so vibrantly in so many places? But let's hear just quickly, what do you have to say about jihad? Fi sabilillah. And let's understand this well.
Fight them wherever they are. When Allah mentions verses that we read tonight regarding the battle of Badr and the battle of Uhud and various other battles that took place, remember these verses are not instructions for me and you today. They are records of history that are mentioned in the Quran whereby we can learn examples from.
Records of history. It's not for you and I. This is what he said. These are his clear words. Now let's take what the brother said. Let's take what you say. And let's take your beliefs. These are not for you and I. Right.
The Quran has verses of history where history is recorded. They translate it as though those are commands for me and you. Nay, they are not commands. When Allah says, fight those who have fought you, He has addressed it to those people at the time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Islam is full of peace. It means peace.
So what is Hamas supposed to do? Because you're saying fight them if they fight you. So is they, look at what's happening. Is Hamas just supposed to be sitting still? It doesn't go back to 7th of October 2023. This has been ongoing. Hamas plucked up the courage on the 7th of October 2023 to say enough is enough now. And that is when they practiced and they said we're going to do what we have to do. But look, just look and understand. He's saying this does not refer to this current period. Islam is full of peace. You've just heard it.
Peace. It stands for peace. And it will only teach and preach peace. So the verses we have read today, they applied at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they definitely serve as a lesson for all of us. But let's not misunderstand. A non-Muslim shows you the Quran and says, you know, look at these verses. They are...
Anyway, this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We conclude by saying this. You've heard what the brother said. You've heard and he's been labeled troubled. Whether he's troubled or not, let's go back to facts. The challenge still remains. O Mufti Menk, can you criticize Israel for what they are doing clearly in clear-cut words and not using other words which you've seen him use on X and the rest? That's one. Number two. Can you bravely say what the Mujahideen are doing is exceptional. These are two things. Let's see. Let us see. Let us hear. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Next, we're going to move to our last portion of our time management in a Muslim's life. So we've been discussing the night, we've been discussing the day. Now we're going to be discussing the last portion of this year, you want the three segments. Like I say, it's just easier if you join the channel, then you can get both. Is there sent already? And today will be the third. So you want it, send us a message, 084-786-3132. +27 is the code, 84786-3132. And we will send you the link for the channel, and we'll send you these three once the podcast is done, of course, here. So how to manage time in a Muslim's life. Exceptional points been given. So let's hear the last portion, 10 minutes.
On Mondays and Thursdays, he fasted voluntarily, which I try to do once in a while as well. But it's just very important that we don't eat throughout the whole day. I mean, our bodies are not meant to eat breakfast, are eating lunch, snacks in between, dinner, and then snacks in the evening, because your body is constantly processing food. I mean, we have to learn from nature. We have to learn from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if people have existed for millions of years, you know, millions of years. We have evolved, we have learned things. And throughout this whole period, and this tiny part right over here, this is the modern world, you know, where we have fridges, where we can put food in a fridge so that it stays good. Those millions of years before the modern time, we didn't have fridge. We were lucky if we had hunted one chicken or one cow, one beef, you know. So sometimes you even needed to spend days without food. If you look at the life of our Prophet ﷺ, he didn't eat that much food. And there's also this hadith about the proportion of food that we need. 1/3 of our stomach for food, 1/3 for water, and 1/3 for air. So that means don't fill up your body constantly. And that's what we're actually doing. People are obese. I mean, people back in the days were not obese. People right now are not fit, not in a good shape, not in a good health condition. Why? Because we're constantly eating, and not only eating, we're constantly eating unhealthy food, junk food, we're eating before sleep, eating in the morning, things like that. I don't do that. I'm having brunch, which means breakfast and lunch in one, brunch. It's not something it's actually a very popular word for people that didn't know brunch. And I'm doing that until here. I'm taking my time to go to the gym, and it can be different. Sometimes I'm going to the gym, sometimes I'm going for a run. Sometimes I'm going to play soccer with friends or anything like that. I really love sports, you know. So it's just very important that I make my body in motion, in moving. Because I'm having a job where I need to do things online. We're into marketing, software, and building all of those things. So most part of the day, I'm sitting still. I'm working behind the screen. So for me, it's really important that I'm also having a part of my day where my body is in movement, where I can go outside, where I can play sports, anything like that, because it's very important to stay in a healthy, good condition, you know? So I'm taking time for sport, about 1 hour, maybe 1.5, and then I'm having brunch. I'm making sure that I'm going to eat some healthy food. And what I'm currently doing already for a couple of months is OMAD, which is one meal a day. So I'm just eating one meal a day. It's a bigger meal than what people are normally lunching. I'm eating like 1/2 kilo of beef or chicken combined with one whole avocado, some extra vegetables or things like that, 5 to 6 eggs. So that I'm making sure that after sports, I'm filling up my body with proteins, with vitamins, and all of the necessaries for the day. And it's not completely that I'm doing OMAD, because sometimes after Asr, I'm having some fruit, some nuts, some dates throughout the day. And I mean, I'm a human as well. Sometimes I want snacks as well. But actually, let me check. Somewhere, yeah, here. The best snack that you can have is dates. Like our Prophet ﷺ did that as well. These are containing a lot of healthy things. This is coming straight out of nature. If you're eating chocolate and all of those things throughout the day, then it's really bad for your body, you know? And what I must realize as well, as a CEO, you're responsible for not only your company, for your money, for taking care of your family. and take care of your team, but it's the most important thing that you take care of yourself. If I'm not taking care of myself, then how can I do this throughout the day? How can I have energy? How can I make sure that I'm fit? If I'm not fit, then I cannot do all of those things. I cannot be responsible for my own company. If I'm not sleeping well, if I'm not prioritizing my deen, if I'm not eating healthy, then I would constantly have brain fog. I would not be sharp. I would not really be able to make sure that that I'd be productive and that I get the right results, you know? So what I do is called OMAD, but sometimes I'm eating some snacks over here. And when I'm really fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the OMAD, the meal, is right over here. So sometimes when I'm voluntary fasting, the OMAD, so the one meal a day, is after Maghrib, after I break my fast. So the schedule is also very easy to adapt if you're fasting. Even in Ramadan, this is a very amazing schedule to use, you know? So after a quick break, I did a shower after sporting, I switched my clothes, I freshed up, I've eaten, I'm fit, I went outside, maybe even after going to the gym, I'm going for a quick walk. I'm completely fresh. It feels like a whole new day is about to start after that. So then at 3 and Asr is at 4, I'm having time. I'm having a lot of time between Maghrib and Asr. And this can be completely different depending on my day. But the afternoon can consist of some light work. By the way, really sorry for my bad head writing because, I don't have any excuses. I'm sorry. So it can be light work. It can be meetings. It can be brainstorming about new ideas. But it can also be time for some fun. Damn, my handwriting is so bad. But it can also be time for some fun. I mean, how can you even write well when you're sitting like this? I should buy a program having more space. Okay, but it can also be for fun activities. Time with family or something like that. Sometimes I'm even taking time to have meetings outside. Actually, my day is open. It really depends on my day. So I can do take time for some light work. Sometimes I'm having meetings, brainstorming, but also I have a lot of time for fun activities or take time for family or things like that. And the reason that I can do that is because of this morning, because I prioritize all of the important things. Actually, it doesn't really matter what I do after that. Do you see how I prioritize all of the things throughout the day? So first I look at the prayer times. Then I look at my sleep for my energy. Then I look at how to implement time for my religion, for going to the masjid, reading Quran, all of those things. Then I try to finish the most important things that I have to do for my work first, which I do with deep work. Then sometimes I'm having meetings. Then I prioritize my health with sports. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to the gym. And then throughout the whole day, even before Asr until Isha, I have all the time to just have fun. Because sometimes people are thinking, as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, you cannot have fun anymore. It's so busy. And yes, it is very busy. I have a lot of responsibilities. And sometimes throughout the day, I have to work from Asr until Maghrib. Sometimes I have to do that. Sometimes even after Maghrib in the evening, I'm still working. It really happens. But even right now, for example, it is just a little bit after Asr. And I'm currently recording a video. It doesn't really matter what I do. I just do the things that are important. Sometimes it's taking time for family and things like that. After Maghrib, what I do is I take time for things like family or time for reading or other activities. But it's also very important that I must make sure that the 3-to-1 rule is about to start somewhere over here. And the biggest mistake that a lot of people are making, and I made it myself as well a bunch of times, is that this is going well. I'm having an amazing day. Everything is going well. Business is running. I did all of the things that I have to do. And then Maghrib is there. And then after that, I forget that actually the day is starting then again, you know? So I'm still on social media or something like that. I'm still taking time with family, and that's getting late and late and late. But you must remember that if you are right over here, not taking time for a good routine, then the days after that will also not be be right. Now, let me see. Did I forget anything? There's one thing over here. Before Isha, I plan my whole day. So I plan all of this, what is about to happen for the next day, is I schedule it. Everything. I schedule also my light work or my fun activities or things like that. Because I need to wake up with purpose. Let me actually write that. Purpose. The most important thing is that you have purpose in life. How can you work on a plan? How can you level up every single day if you don't have a plan? A normal day starts with a plan, good sleep, prioritizing your deen, and then you have it. The most productive routine that I have ever seen. And this is not something that I just did out of nowhere. This is after a couple of years of optimizing. After I referred it to Islam, I needed to flip the whole schedule as well. But this is just by testing and feeling and looking and optimizing about what works best for me. And it's not, this doesn't mean that you have to do the exact same thing. I mean, if you're still going to school or if you have a 9-to-5 job, it might be very hard to do it like this. Then I suggest you become an entrepreneur. It's much easier to schedule your own time. But also, maybe you have an own business and where you cannot align it with this. Maybe you cannot go to the gym in the middle of the day. Maybe you need to do it in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening. I just shared this video to give you a little bit more of an insight in my days, how I do it. And I think it can be very valuable for you as well. Try to learn, try to be adaptive. And also when you're just starting out, really important, I'm taking sometimes 7 hours of deep work. So I'm really working hard between Fajr and Dhuhr. But if you're just starting out, it's really hard to concentrate. This is something you really have to train. So try to implement some of these things step by step if you're just starting out. But the goal should be that you do as much as you can in your day while still taking time for your prayers and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to the masjid and also for your family, fun activities. If I'm on vacation, I can do this because I'm still taking time with family. If I'm in a busy period, I can do this because I can dedicate my time more for work even after asr and stuff. It doesn't really matter. This is it. This is it. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So I hope this video is insightful for you. If you want to learn more, click in the first link here down below because I've got something amazing for you, how you can learn these things as well, how can you can build your own business, set it up in a halal way, 100% halal way. And then I speak to you next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Respected listeners, that was the final portion. Inshallah, it helps for us. And vital points, maybe here and there, one or two mistakes or whatever it is, but that doesn't minus all the other benefits. And that is how we should plan our day with regards to our times, putting deen first. That was what was the message of today. And of course, building on that, sticking to the plan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La aqlaq at-tadbir, there is no intelligence like planning. So you've got it there, narration comes in Mishkat. So we have to focus on these aspects and see how we can better our days so that we can be more productive and we do not give up rest for social media, wasting our time, because that is where so much of time is going in our jobs, in so many aspects. And we are just becoming individuals who are not being productive. We are not being truthful because there's a 9-to-5 job, a 7-to-12 job, whichever times you know you are working for a company, that time is for the company. Yes, you have your breaks in between, that's given. But where our entire day is for our personal social media interests, personal interests, now that becomes problematic. The money we're earning then is also doubtful. Anyway, worth not wasting any more time. Let's move on to our qira'ah, a short segment, and we're going to play for you a short verse, inshallah, and then we'll meet with you. 8:30 we have, and it is with Mufti Farhan Karani. Today we're discussing preserving the rewards of sadaqah. One is to give sadaqah, but to preserve the rewards of sadaqah. 8:30 to 9, we'll be discussing it there. Let's hear, and this will be our short segment on qiraat.
Allahumma arhamna bil Qur'an waj'alhu lana ibadan wa nuran wa hudan wa rahmat. Allahumma dhakkirna minhuma nusina wa'allimna, allimna minhuma jahilna, minhuma jahilna warzuqna tilawatahu ana al-layli al-layli wa واجعله لنا حجة اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة.
We go now to our qiraat in this Subi. Just a short verse, and to boost the ummah. Why? Because often we think that those who are committing oppression, they just get away. But hear the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal, which that particular personality in America wants to burn. You can never burn, extinguish the Quran
Sharif. إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار مهطعين مقنعي رؤوسهم لا يرتد إليهم طرفهم وأفئدتهم هواء.
So that's just a short verse to share with you, and there you've heard it. Next, inshallah, we're going to move to our 8:30 to 9 interview segment. This is with Mufti Farhan Karani. As I've mentioned to you, we're going to be discussing the manner to preserve the rewards of sadaqah. There's many aspects to this. We'll be discussing it. One brother, mashallah, sent us a good, interesting message. The Zionist Hasbara playbook, how propaganda works. Pick the targets, give the golden invite, control the tour, capture emotions, plant the script, reward the loyal, quick tricks. And then he has a conclusion, why Hasbara matters. Hasbara doesn't argue, it engineers the headlines, very vital. It doesn't fight with facts, it manufactures feelings by peeling influence through junket sponsorships and media capture. It buys silence and sells apartheid as democracy. Bottom line, Hasbara manufactures consent. If it is not exposed, its lies become tomorrow's common sense. Hasbara has been so wildly successful that it has been normalized and has normalized hate and demonized Muslims, turning even ordinary people who once seemed decent into bloodthirsty cheerleaders for the murder of babies and sacking of Gaza. This is why we need haqiqah. It runs on truth, repeated until the lies of Hasbara collapse. Remember, we discussed this in the first portion. Keep on mentioning the facts. They try to silence you. You keep on mentioning the facts. And you stick to the fact. And they won't be able to drop you. That is why Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam, I'm not leaving the prison until my name is cleared with regards to Zulaykha. My name must first be cleared. Then we can talk. And why, you may ask? Because such a great prophet, he's going to give the message of Tawheed. But when this was the stain that they sought to put on him, then he said, no, I need to clear this first, then Tawheed. And he did give the message of Tawheed even in the prison, those two brothers who came to ask for the interpretation of the dream. So just to put things back into perspective, an interesting messenger, the Zionist Hasbara playbook. Jazakumullah khairan to the brother. We move now to our segment. This is with Mufti Farhan Karani, mashallah, all the muftis. Mufti Farhan Karani, and we'll be discussing the rewards of preserving sadaqah. The rewards, in fact, the manner to preserve the rewards of sadaqah. That's the actual topic. The manner of preserving the rewards of sadaqah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
يا رجائي